going on, people? Welcome to a brand new episode of the podcast. And today we're joined by another amazing guest, rapper, singer-songwriter, Young Athena. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. How's this past year and a half been for you? Have you been okay?
How's the year and a half been for you?
Yeah, like the last couple of years, like since this whole lockdown period. Have you been okay?
Well, good. Yeah, it's been a bit crazy. I think Everyone's been a little bit shocked at how fast the world can change. But I think it's definitely been a great learning experience for learning to adapt and learning to change, especially in the forever changing field of music. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's been an experience, definitely, and a good one.
Yeah, because you're at the Brit School now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am at Brit School.
Yeah, how's that getting on for you so far? You enjoying it?
Really exciting for me. It was really different to leave my last school, which I loved all my lessons, I loved the music I was doing, but when you do geography, science, maths and things like that alongside music and you only have 2 hours a week of it, It's a lot less. And then going to Brit School and just doing a whole music course and singing every day, writing music every day, it's a bit of a shock. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was like playtime every day.
That's
to
brilliant.
Come to school and just sing all day. So I'm absolutely loving it. It's really good.
That's brilliant. Like, did you like quit like normal school and to like focus on Brit School completely?
No. So, you know, when you finish your GCSE year and then you go into sixth form, I left my school. I didn't carry on the sixth form years. I left to go to join Brit School. So I left last year. So I was the crazy year of GCSE students who didn't sit an exam. And then I joined last year at Brit School.
How did you feel not doing your GCSEs in the end? Was it like, were you like relieved not to do them in the end?
To be honest, because I actually enjoy learning. I actually did enjoy my lessons. So I think either way, whether we did sit the exam or didn't, I would have done well, but it's still quite nice not to. It's still quite nice not to have to sit them. I think it was a weird experience spending 5 years like working towards GCSEs and then they just didn't happen. But it just shows how fast things have to change sometimes.
Yeah, when you put it like that, 5 years of learning towards your exams, it's mad, ain't it? Five years. I mean, what else did you like learning apart from your music, obviously? What other subjects did you enjoy doing?
I absolutely loved geography. I had a teacher called Mr. Williamson, who still works there, who was just absolutely epic. Like, I absolutely loved geography so much. And, like, for me, in my past school, like, doing those other subjects, I think was quite lovely for GCSE and was quite a nice close to doing all of them. Geography has to be up there. Yeah. I also did media studies, which I loved that. And I'm annoyed this year because at that school, they're doing Beyonce as part of their coursework. And I
really?
Can't believe that I'm not there for that. So those are my favourite lessons, though. I loved those.
Yeah. What are you doing as part of? What kind of course is it with Beyonce then? Is that her history, how she does performances, her career? How's that working?
Well, it's about, for media studies, this year they're studying music videos, and one of them is Formation Beyonce, which I can't believe I'm not there for. Like, it's such a wicked video, it's one of my favourites. So that's what they're doing, and it's just basically analysing it and looking at different techniques used in the video and stuff like that to do with how they put it out into the media.
Yeah, that's wicked. I know that recently Formation got voted the best video of all time, didn't it, from what I saw. That's mad.
It deserves it.
I mean, is that for you your favourite video, do you think, as well, Formation?
Yes, I'm quite a Beyonce fan. Yeah. It's a bit like a bit of an obsession. I think it needs to be put under control soon, but I do absolutely love Beyonce. Formation for me is definitely one of my like favourite. Like, I just love it. And I love Sorry as well. Like, I love those videos. I just think Beyonce's attention to detail and the team she works with, like, she knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing. So she's pretty wicked. And Formation is just...
Is.
What can you say? It's just so good.
I remember that we performed at a couple of years ago with my orchestra, performing the Formation at a big math festival. And, oh my God, the reaction that it got was just mental. It was ridiculous.
That is absolutely amazing. So what type of orchestra was it? Was it like a whole piece orchestra?
Hip-hop orchestra, yeah. So I did that with that hip-hop orchestra. Vocalist, string section, brass, bassist, me on piano. Oh,
I wouldn't have been able to have played in that because I would have stopped halfway through to listen, which I know wouldn't have been allowed. But that sounds absolutely epic.
I'll send you the links after. It was definitely so good. But yeah, I say that, go back to you, how you started actually. Is it your mum's an opera singer and your dad's a rapper?
Yeah, right. So my mum used to sing opera and my dad used to rap. So since I was younger, I've had like the most diverse set of ears, I think, ever. Like from listening to grime, to listening to classical music, to then listening to like Duffy, who's someone we used to listen to, and then you hear like Jay-Z and Kanye. It's like the ends of the spectrum are just so different, and it's actually quite lovely to have, because when doing music now, there's so many genres that I love and enjoy putting into one song as well. So yeah, my mum used to sing opera. Like, my mum's so humble about it, but like, my mum is pretty cool.
That's brilliant. I mean, did you ever get the chance to see them perform live anywhere growing up yourself?
No, because it was before like my time, which I can't believe. I feel like they've neglected me of watching them like perform. There's probably some old videos somewhere, there has to be, but I'm definitely one day getting my dad emceeing on the mic and spinning some bars and my mum singing down the place with some opera. It has to happen.
That would be amazing. I mean, have they ever like rapped and sung to you in the house at all?
Well, my mum always would be singing around the house. Like, it's quite interesting because, like, my granddad, my mum's dad, always sings as well and hums. So hearing my mum when I was younger, always just, like, singing around the house or humming or singing to us. She also played piano as well. We had a piano in our house. It was a constant thing of hearing how, obviously I don't want to say it in a cookie way, but how a note should sound, like, how it should sound when sung. So since I was little, that's... Yeah, like she'd always be singing around the house and stuff. My dad wasn't barring it down in the house, unfortunately. But I have actually heard a few of his tracks, and I think it's quite epic for me now to have the input of a singer and a rapper as well into my music.
That is so good. I know that you were called like an anomaly yourself, weren't you? Like compared to Etta James, to Ella Fitzgerald, then to Cardi B and Drake. I mean, that is such a vast array of artists, but yeah, amazing artists at the same time. I mean, for you, at such a young age as well, now, how is it, what's it feel to be compared to such major artists like that?
To be honest, like, no matter what type of artist it is, no matter whether they're at the absolute top or working like with like at the same level as me and working hard, it's like, it's a compliment either way. Like when someone is putting their art out there, whether they're a rapper, a singer, like no matter whether they do both, like Lizzo or Nicki Minaj, or whether they just rap or whether they just sing, like to be compared to anyone, I just think is like, it's a huge compliment. And especially hearing people say like Drake, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, I'm like, oh man, that's crazy. And then hearing people say about the soul in my voice and singing Aretha Franklin songs and Etta James and singing Beyonce songs and hearing those compliments, it's just like, what more of a compliment could I really ask for? Like, they're the best to really ever do it in their fields. And for anyone to compare my voice or the art that I make to that, it's just, I'm lost for words really with that.
That's amazing, because are they the kind of people that inspire you as well, apart from your parents, obviously? Do they really inspire you, these kind of artists?
Yeah, so definitely the soul women, like the singers who, when you listen to their music, you're just like, how's that even possible? Yeah. Aretha Franklin's definitely one of them. I did a dub for Deja Vu FM a couple of weeks ago and played it when I went onto their station. And that was called Play a Little Deja Vu, which was like from the song Say a Little Prayer for You. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, recording that song was a learning curve, because that is one of the hardest songs I've ever sung. And when she sings it, it sounds really low. So I'm thinking, oh, this will be like semi-easy. And when we get in the studio and we're doing it, I'm like, this is so high. I don't know how my voice is going to get through, but I'm going to have to force it through. So Etta James, Aretha Franklin, those singers for me, like, are like, when I just hear them, there's just a different connection with them. Like Beyonce for me is just an all-round just inspiration. I think the way that she shows strength through such a graceful way, like, she's she's really, for me, like my role model in terms of what I would like to do in music. I think that her career and the music she's put out, I think the performances that she does are just, she's out of this world. And then to do with the rapping side of things, Nicki Minaj for me, like since I was younger, I've actually, like, I used to love Super Bass. I remember one of my birthday parties, actually. I think I wore a pink wig and like small, like denim shorts and like a cute little vest. And I was from Super Bass. And I remember like loving dressing up as that so much. And like, as I got older, being able to listen to more of her music, because at that age, I'd only really heard Super Bass. So as I got older and could listen to more of her music, for me, it was just like, from every area of rap that she just does it with so much style and swag, and she does it, like, for me, it's like effortlessly. And that's, yeah, she's definitely one of my big inspirations. And Cardi B in rap as well, like, I think her flows are just wicked, and the way she just says stuff, I just think, fair enough. She does it with great intonation, like, it is just wicked. So they're definitely some of my inspirations. But I think that anyone putting out art, like, at all, especially Tyler the Creator. Yeah. I have quite a soft spot for Tyler the Creator's music. It's just so crazy. I love it. But anyone who's putting out art and putting themselves out as an artist and being vulnerable as well to people's comments and to what people think of art that's literally being made from them, I just think, you're pretty cool.
Man, talk about releasing music to the world. I mean, how, because you've written a couple of tracks at 12 years old, haven't you, yourself? I mean, because you're so young yourself already still, like, how did you feel releasing tracks at such a young age? Was it difficult? Was it exciting? How do you find it?
I think that it's still, there's still kind of 12-year-old nervousness for releasing tracks is still there. Yeah. I think for me, it's when I was like younger, it was the fact that I wasn't sure what people were going to say. And I think especially when you're like 12, 13, 14, and like the whole world is changing around you and you have no idea why, like it's difficult to put into words the kind of nervousness around, oh, will people like it? What will my friends say? You know, will my teachers hear it? What will my mum and my dad think about the song when it's out? What will my grandparents think? Like, there's all those types of things. But it was exciting. And I'm really glad that my parents are like big support systems behind me and helped me to put that music out there. Because now when I go back and listen to a song I released when I was 12, I just think it's a wonderful thing to hear and to hear the growth, but to also be like, wow, like I have a song called like On Fleek that came out. And I just think like my 12-year-old self was absolutely living it up with the song On Fleek. And I love that so much. So it was definitely exciting. I think there's always a nervousness that comes with it, but I think it's a great thing. And I would say to any 11, 12, 13-year-olds, like, by the time, even though I say my age, I am only 17, but by the time you are like 16, 17 and you look back, it's like gold dust, the music that you put out there. And so you should always put it out and love what you're doing and not worry too much about what other people think.
Yes, I love that. That's brilliant advice. That is so good. And do you get a lot of advice from your parents and a lot of people around you as well about how to kind of approach tracks, how to record them, how to structure them as well?
So I work with a collective called Emotive Frequency, and it's a mixture of different, like, people who do different things, like, in music, whether it's, like, producers, like, beat-wise, or producers for vocals, whether it's mixing and mastering, or, like, whether it's the side of, like, album artwork or stuff like that. It's quite amazing, like, what I've been able to learn from Emotive Frequency, and my parents being a big part of my musical journey as well. I'm quite surrounded by people who advise me with stuff that I don't know, because I've got really good at saying, like, I don't know, like, I don't know what to do, I'm not sure, and asking for the help and the knowledge and the advice. And the people around me are always so open to say, try this, you know, is this something that you want to work on? If so, this is what you should try with it, you know, just try anything. And what's really good as well is that the people around me are not forceful with what they want me to be in any way. Like, what they want me to be is what I want to be and where my happiness will come from. And that really helps in a creative space, because writing a song like my song Wrong and Right, which has just come out, writing a song like that, you know, you're, it's quite a vulnerable song where you speak about your insecurities and things you're unsure about. And having people around you that make the creative space safe and happy and have your best interest there really does help. And the advice part of it is like, it's a super big part of it.
So I couldn't agree more, because being honest and saying, I don't know, I need advice, is what I think a lot of people struggle with, don't they? I mean, for you at such a young age to say, I actually don't know, can I get some help? Was that difficult for you to open up to people and say, I need advice on things as well? Or did it take a while to open up to people and say, I need advice on a few bits? Because you're still so young yourself, but did you find it quite difficult at first to open up to people?
I definitely think, like, for me, like, I'm quite a perfectionist. Yeah, I've had to work on it a bit, because when you first write a song, as like my dad has taught me, you don't write the finished song like the first time. Like, songs take work. Like, I always say, like, songs need a soul. And for me at first, I was trying to write a whole life story of a song in one go, and I was getting really frustrated when it wasn't there. And that transition of the creative process and learning that there's time in between the beginning and the finish thing, like there's steps in between it, helped. And that was from asking, what do I do with this song? Like, how do I change the way I'm attacking the music that I'm doing? Because I'm trying to, like, it took me a while. And it was also my dad that kind of said to me, I think you're trying to finish it all at once. Mm. And that help and advice, if I didn't ask for that, I'd still be getting really frustrated listening to beats thinking, why have I not written like a million albums by now? Like, this all should be done. Like, that type of stuff. It is difficult sometimes to ask for help. It's easy, I think, as human beings anyway, to want to do it ourselves and be strong and do it alone. But strength is always in numbers as well. Like, it makes you stronger, I think, when you can say, I'm really not sure. And someone who does know can literally give you a helping hand and show you what to do, show you their way of doing it, show you someone else's way of doing it, to craft your own way. So yeah, it's definitely something that always is being worked on. Like, there's some stuff that I think I should know this, but then I'm like, but it's okay to not know it. So yes, it's a work in progress, definitely.
Because talk about different versions, actually, I know that your single Need to Know, you did loads of different versions, didn't you, for that? I mean, like, how many versions in the end did you do for that in the end? Was it like, well, I know that.
Need to Know started off as an Instagram like challenge. It's actually on my Instagram from about last year, March or April, about that time. So that was the first version of it. Mm. And it was after the kind of challenge or Instagram competition that was part of that, we decided, oh, like, we want to make this into a proper song. Like, we like the song, like the melodies, the lyrics, thought it was really cool. So we went to make like the first version of it. I would say there's, including that version, there's maybe about four versions of that song, which I don't think is the most versions of a song that we've had. But for me, I love all the versions. That's the thing, you know, I'm glad I have help to decide what to do, because I would just say, put all four of them out. But the versions that are out there for people to hear is the main version, which is on like all streaming platforms. There's the live version that was with Vocal Networking, the one shot live, which is on YouTube. And then the acoustic version, which I did with an artist called Tommy Kenny. And that was a lovely, like, that was a really cool person to work with. Like, he's super professional. Like, he heard the song, loved it, and came back to me next day with the chords. So I was like, this is another version of this song, which I love. Like, it's perfect. And when putting those out there, I think it's really lovely for people to hear like three different versions of it. And for me, like, I like the fact that people who support me have more stuff to listen to. I think people deserve to have the songs to listen to. And I think it's just great that there's loads, because I'm really indecisive. And if there was only one, I'd be kicking myself that there's not more than one. So I love the fact there's more than one.
That's brilliant. I mean, going from like, it's like a fully fledged produced track to an acoustic version, was that like another steep learning curve for you to have, how to deal with, say, one track to another in different versions?
Well, not particularly, because the artist I work with, Tommy Kenny, he's like a pianist that is just out of this world. Like, a pianist who just... And he has like perfect pitch. So when he heard the song, he just played it, and I was like, how do you do that? how is that possible? But that was, I think, it wasn't like a steep learning curve, but it's always one, like, I think every version that you do teaches you that there's more sometimes to a song. There's more, like, not lyric-wise or how the song sounds, but the song has more life. And it's a learning curve that you should never, like, stop a song to what it wants to be. Like, the thing I have with Give a Song a Soul, like, I like it to be, like, its own, you know, person almost. And it has a version of itself, which is, like, a live version with all, like, attitude and drama. And then the acoustic version, which is a little bit more, like, still has the drama and attitude, but a little bit more, like, low-key and stuff like that. So it was definitely a learning curve in the fact, like, working with someone else on one of my own songs, because I haven't done that, like, in a while. But it was lovely to do. Like, he's a wicked musician, so I kind of just sat back and relaxed. I was like, I don't know what to do.
That's wicked. Okay, now that you mentioned, obviously, it's like it was an Instagram live challenge, right? And the song's about stupid gossips, right? Was this theme given to through Instagram, or was this something that you experienced already in your career so far?
So the beats, like, for it were, they were made by Lucid Productions, and the people that were hosting the challenge were called Kilo TV, and the beats were given to us, and it was basically like, write a song to this, and then we'll pick the ones that we like the best to progress through the competition. So it was really, like, quite self-explanatory with whatever ideas you had, just put it on the beat, but these are the beats that you have to choose from. So it was, yeah, those types of stuff, it wasn't, they didn't really give us a context of it, but I think everybody at some point in their life with a song like Need to Know has someone who's talking about them, or has a friendship situation which someone's talking about them, or they just know somebody who's always spreading rumours and keeps chatting. So it was more so, I think, kind of just taking together, just putting together, like, what is something that's happened to me that is, like, even on a small level, like, where even a misunderstanding between friends, or hearing someone say this, or kind of just, like, putting together how it feels to be in rumour-filled situations, kind of. And I think as well, like, me myself, I like the kind of, like, drama aspect in songs. Like, I like them to be exciting. And that really helped with that song, because the small bits, like, chatting, and the, like, really cute kind of bits in it, I think is what, like, brought the song together and pushed the concept of it, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you actually sit there and, like, say, write, sing, perform, and record your kind of tracks, I mean, do you find it quite difficult to talk about certain subjects to get off your chest, or do you feel like writing and performing the kind of tracks is a way of getting things off your chest?
I think it's difficult with me in a way, because I'll go through stages of writing, like, 8 songs. Like, I've wrote a few songs in the past, like 8 or 9 songs, which are all about kind of how I was feeling at the time. And then there's sometimes where I find it more difficult to actually get the emotion out onto paper. So it's a mixture. I think for me, writing songs is, like, something I find fun and challenging, which is always good. Mm-hmm. It's always good to enjoy a challenge. It's always good. But I think with how I feel and things like that, putting it into a song, it can be difficult sometimes to actually know what the emotion is, to how to describe it.
Yeah,
because I might feel, like, really sad, but so sad that I don't know how to explain it, or so happy that there's no word that I can think of to do it. So I think it's learning through songwriting how to get the emotion out in words. But it's a mixture. I write songs about, like, well, I think all my songs which I put out is definitely a way that I've been feeling, and they usually do communicate how I'm feeling inside, even if I don't realise it.
Yeah,
but it's definitely a mixture. It's a mixture of how I'm feeling, but it's an easy and a hard thing.
I think can imagine,
feeling vulnerable, I think, is a big step for anyone, and feeling like, oh, I'm gonna write now how I've been feeling for months, and now I'm gonna put it out for everyone to listen. Like, are people gonna be like, you know, grow a thick skin, or are people gonna be like, oh, you know, it's relatable? And I just think I have to keep working at getting over the fact that if I feel some way, whether it's happy or sad, there's 7 billion people, at least one other person's going to feel that way. And even if it only affects one person, that's all it needs to do. I shouldn't be so worried about putting my emotions out there. And it's a worried thing, but it's something that I'm working on constantly.
Yes, brilliant. And sticking with emotions, actually, yourself, like when you're writing songs, do you tend to write songs depending on how you're feeling that day? Or do you try and write a mixture of different songs for different emotions? Say, if you're happy, you might write happy songs only. Or if you're feeling a bit upset, you might write sad songs only. Or do you write like a mixture of different kinds of songs?
It's a mixture. For me, like, it's so different. Like the most recent songs that I've put out since May, I believe, was... like they're all quite different. And to be honest, it's really like, as you're saying at the beginning, like of that question, like one day at a time kind of thing. Like one day, if I'm feeling happy, it'll be about this. If I'm feeling sad the next day, if I'm feeling angry or frustrated or excited or surprised, it depends on really the day. I try not to, and I still do it to myself, like where I'm trying to draw an emotion out that I'm not feeling.
Yeah.
But I try not to do that because I think like, if I'm not feeling that way today, you know, how actually am I feeling? Because it can go into a song and it depends. It's not always that, I'll put, you know, all my emotions into one song if I'm feeling sad. It might be two or three. It might be none that day, like depending on how it comes up. But yeah, it's a mixture, definitely. It's never really just happy songs or just sad songs. It's quite a big mixture, which I quite enjoy.
That's brilliant. And sticking with Need to Know, actually, obviously going back to what it's about, that Need Like the Super Gossips, right? Has anyone actually come to you and said, is that song about me at all? Or it's like, no, no, it's not about you. It's just a general thing. Don't worry.
Well, no, but people have asked me, like, who is it about? And I'm like, it's about someone who's chatting. Like, it's not about, like, there's always someone chatting. I don't know who it is right now, but it's about them. Yeah. Like, so, and no one has asked me that. Yeah, I've dodged the bullet, I think.
Okay.
Dodged the bullet there, but it isn't. I think that for me, when writing songs, it's never really about someone. It's more about situation or emotion. And I've got the question of, is it about this person? I'm like, no. No, it's just a quirky song. Like, you guys are thinking about it too much.
If you're doing the right thing by doing this, don't worry. But everyone loved like the sentiments about it. It was, the feedback was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, how did that make you feel? Like, the feedback was amazing.
Well, it was, I was really surprised. I think because I haven't, like, it was the first track I released out of the most recent tracks I've done, and I haven't released a track in a while before that. There was only one track out that was before that on streaming platforms. So the feedback for it was just like, I was blown away by it and taken aback. I think that for people to enjoy the song, I think for people to just listen to the song is enough for me, because they've taken the time to listen to something I've made. Then for people to like it and know the lyrics is just... it was like, what? It was really weird. You know, I was in college and people were like, I love that song. I love the part where you then would like rap half a verse. And I'm like, you know that better than I do. It's actually really lovely. And it makes me quite emotional in a way, because it's a song that I love. And for people to enjoy it and love it, and for me to love performing it and to watch people enjoying hearing it, it's lovely. The support, like all the shares and reposts, and people still sharing it now, people like listening to it, commenting on the Vocal Networking one shot live of it, people like just doing everything they can to support it, was quite insane. Like, actually, I can't thank the people enough that still share it now, are still listening now, who know the lyrics. Like, there's not enough thanks, I think, in the world to give to those people. But it's just always special. It's a really special thing.
That is so good, Timmy. How does that make you feel, knowing that people are singing your lyrics back to you, like your lyrics back to you? Is that a mad feeling?
At first it wasn't. And then slowly it started to sink in that I actually wrote these lyrics down on a piece of paper a few months ago, and now these people are actually singing it. It was a little bit like, how does that work? Kind of thing. But it was, to me, it's just... it's lovely to see the transition. And it's a big learning thing for me as well, because I hadn't put out many songs before. Like, I'd only put out, like, I put out on Fleek and I put out La La La, and I had the song Be Who You Are, which came, was released onto YouTube. Those songs, like, before, I had never really heard anyone sing them back. Not because people, like, didn't know them or things like that, but because I hadn't performed them at a place, or I hadn't, like, spoken to people who've listened to it. But this time, like, to hear people singing it for me was almost like a penny drop moment. Like, oh my God, like, if I write this down and record it, someone's actually going to sing it. Let's, like, yeah. It's not just going to be me who's singing it. Like, it was, it's quite a beautiful thing. I think when you can take an idea from, like, a tiny thing like that big, and now you've got all these people that know it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like planting a seed and lots of people watering it to help it grow. It's really lovely, and it's still crazy. I don't know how they know it better than me, but yeah. I'll find out soon.
That's mad. That, like, they know your songs better than you. That is crazy. It's mad.
It is. Like, I love performing my songs, but when I hear people in the crowd, like, at Brit School, we had a festival that we did, which I am amazed how they put that on with COVID and everything. They did an absolutely wicked job. And I performed three songs, and one of them was Need to Know. And people were in the crowd, like, chatting. And I was like, oh, hand movements and everything, choreography, attitude. I'm loving it. Like, it's so special to see. Like, it really is.
Oh, that is so good. I'm really proud of you, though. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Pleasure. And for you, someone like yourself, how do you learn the best? Do you find being thrown in the deep end and then learning what works best for you the best way of learning? Or, like I said a minute ago, do you talk to, like, your multi-frequency team and research people to see how they perform the best way of learning for you?
I think it's everything you just said, really. From trying to be a perfectionist in a way, I'm a little bit of a scaredy cat of the deep end, I think, even though I used to swim. This time in music, I'm sometimes like, the deep end is always a space you'll be uncomfortable, because you don't know, like, if the floor is comfort, you don't know how far it is until the comfort area comes. And it's so special for me, like, especially my dad has always, like, almost like preached the fact that you should always try and put yourself in uncomfortable places in music, because that uncomfortableness in songwriting, for example, where you don't know what lyrics to do, like, people say writer's block, like, you feel like you're having that. That's the deep end. That's the uncomfortable space, because you don't know where the verse is going to come. You don't know when you're going to finish it, but that's the place to put yourself in. And from, like, my mum and my dad, like, being a big part of my musical journey, their guidance on that has helped. Like, be uncomfortable in a song, be uncomfortable writing the lyrics. Don't feel good about the ones you've written. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. After you felt uncomfortable, you now have a whole song and then you can work from it. Like, it's always about learning. And I think also for me, being in the shallow end of something is, I've already done it before in a way. And I think for music, it's always about learning. So it's always about putting yourself in the deep end to not even learn how to swim, but to learn that it's not a bad place once you know that it's part of getting back to the shallow end. Like, it's part of getting back to what you know. And yeah, it's a mixture of things, like researching other artists. Like, I like that. I like watching, like, a lot of documentaries on artists. Like, I watched the Mary J. Blige one on Amazon Prime the other day. And it was just, it's really quite hard hitting and quite, like, important for an artist to see other people that have done it and to watch, you know, what mistakes also other people have made, and look at how in yourself as well, like, okay, what types of things does that artist do that I also do, that I love doing? You know, what types of things am I not comfortable with doing, but they're really good at? And how can I take inspiration from that? And yeah, it's always a mixture of stuff. I think it has to be advice and help and teamwork. And then the research part of it, like, you have to look at the greats that have already done it. Like, you have to.
You have to, because I know that in such, like, songs like Beautifully Crushed Soul, for instance, talk about waters as well, that you've actually wrote something similar, didn't you, about, like, things like swimming in drowning waters, that's giving birth to life, and having a big mouth and never being heard. I mean, is it these kind of moments of uncertainty that helps you to inspire you to write these kind of lyrics and to deal with them?
Well, those lyrics I wrote when I was 11. And I think I didn't yet know that, you know, when you get to like 11, 12, as I said like earlier, you know, at those ages, you know, your whole life inside yourself is changing and you don't even realize it yet. Like, you don't really understand that you're about to go through like a huge change and become a woman. It's kind of just like hits you like a truck, and one day you're like, oh, you know, I'm like now so much taller and I can now see a difference from like 2 years ago. Like, it's really weird. But from those songs, those kind of, yeah, the feelings inside us that we may not even realize we're feeling always come out. And I think with that song, those like opposites and the kind of juxtapositions and all the different things in it that make it an opposite end kind of song, like you say one thing, like, so like having a big mouth and never being heard, like those things is how everyone feels sometimes, you know, that lyric, those, that lyric can be taken loads of different ways. And for me, I think sometimes like it can almost be like you might be saying all the right things and might be like feeling like you're shouting it so loud, but you're not being heard by anyone. And those types of stuff that you feel inside is what comes out in songs. So it's small uneasy parts, as you were saying, like the uneasy parts of music, the deep end parts of it is what crafts songs like that, because they're the unsure, like it's the unsure lyrics, it's the unsure places that craft the verses and the meanings behind those songs. So yeah
that's brilliant, because I actually wanted to get into something else that you do actually, because I know that you're an advocate for mental health, aren't you yourself?
Yeah, like I take mental health quite seriously. Because I've, like, I can feel quite anxious a lot of the time. Yeah. And I know that before, I've had, like, quite bad anxiety. And around that type of stuff, I understand that everybody can think everybody's doing good. And everybody can think that they're the only one going through something. They're the only one who's anxious or the only one who feels depressed or down. But really, like, there's other people that feel that way. Like, you're not the only person. Like, other people will understand. And for me, mental health is important because it's what makes somebody who they are. If someone's feeling really depressed, their personality will change. And like, for example, with like my friendship group who I love dearly, like if any of them are feeling any way, like I feel it as a friend. When my happens with my family, you know, you feel it, and it's something that should never be taken lightly. It's a serious thing. And people are going through it all the time, no matter how strong they look, no matter whether they're like 7 foot and built with the most amount of muscle and look like they could take on the Hulk. Like, they might be really anxious inside, and it's never something that you should put past anyone. You should always check on how people are doing. You should always give people the opportunity to also be upset and feel sad and then feel happy. Mental health is a big thing for me. I think that I'm so glad that it's being talked about.
Yeah.
And especially at Brit School, they speak about mental health like all the time. It's something that they are always like, if you don't feel comfortable talking to me, talk to this member of staff or this member of staff or share it with a friend or do this. There's these platforms. They always give us like the numbers of any mental health like charities or anything like that, or helplines to get anyone help who needs it. They're like always arms open wide, like all the time. And I hope that more of the world takes on that approach, because people don't always need help, but there's always times when they do need help, and they need someone to go like, I've got you, like, don't worry. You're not the only one feeling like this. I understand. Mm. So yeah, mental health is always something that I'll always take seriously, because it's affecting people in different ways. Like, mental health can be in really good health where you're really happy and people should appreciate that. And when you're feeling sad and on the other end, people should also appreciate that as well.
But where can people find you actually? Well, before we actually get into that, I want to say thank you so much for today. I've loved talking to you so much. Thank you.
Oh no. Thank you so much for having me. Like, I absolutely have been so excited about it. So I was quite excited this morning, and to come on and to speak about my music and myself is, like, it's a pleasure to do. I'm quite honest for anyone to ask to do it, like, with me. It's really lovely. So thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. And what's coming up in the future for your work then? Any performances or EPs or albums or any singles?
So there's definitely stuff coming out. There's always stuff that we're working on. I can't wait for the new stuff for people to hear. The stuff that's recently come out as well, I'm excited to perform that, especially Wrong and Right, which I've only performed once. I'm so excited to perform that again. I'm also excited to, I think, work with different people is something as well. Like, I really love doing, like, the acoustic version of Me to Know Tommy Kenny, and I think that was a big thing, like, oh, like, work with different musicians. That's definitely something I want to do. I'm also working at the moment to put out a song called A Little Bit of Love, and it's with a guitarist from this country, and I think the bassist is from Australia and the drummer's from Czech Republic. Nice. So that's something that's going to come out, which I'm really, really super excited about. There's singles that will definitely be coming out, and I'm excited for people to hear. So there's always stuff going on. I'm so excited for everyone to see.
Amazing. And how can people find you online as well, just in case?
On all, like, Spotify, Apple Music, like, all streaming platforms, it's just Young Athena. My Instagram is young_Athena. My Twitter is young_Athena_, and my Facebook is Young Athena Official. Official Young Athena. Okay. Other way around, Official Young Athena. Brilliant. And then, yeah, my TikTok is the same as Young Athena as well. So all my socials are really, I think if you type in Young Athena, you'll find it.
lovely. Thank you so much. That's a brilliant episode. Thank you so much, Young Athena. Take care.
You too.
Thank you. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.